Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey. It's Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, without Mark Clifton today. We had to do this a little while ago. Where Mark was, there was a conflict. He was busy with some meetings that he had to go to. And yet we have Jim Eliff in our podcast studio, which is actually the den of our house right now. And so you have, Jim Eliff has house churches. We have house studios.
There you
That's
go.
What we do here.
I love that.
And we're talking, we've been talking, we've had several of these special programs. By the way, I'm Dan Hurst. Kyle Bierman is with us, running the mixer, and Jim Eliff is has been gracious enough to visit with us and talk a little bit about house churches. And Jim is the founder of Christian Communicators Worldwide, which is a great resource for pastors and church leaders. We invite you to check their website out and some of the material that's available for free that you might want to use in your ministry. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about and just devote a whole podcast to was the issue of pastoral visits. Now, when I was in seminary, which was, you know, back when they had just started seminaries.
Mm-hmm. It's like Martin Luther. And
yeah, you know, yeah. He was just a little ahead of me, but we were there. there was always a pastoral care. You know, you had your pastoral care class that you went to. In my opinion, was the biggest waste of time of seminary that I ever experienced.
Totally.
And I didn't do well in that class, as I recall. And one of the things that we talked about, and you should visit your people, you know, if there's a need. You know, so we learned how to do visits if there was somebody was sick or somebody had died or, you know, that sort of thing. But you have an article that you wrote called Spiritual Inventory for Pastoral Visits, and it's a systematic pastoral visitation. And I'm keying on the word systematic, a systematic pastoral visitation of church members. And for those of you guys who are in normative-sized churches, this is something that you can apply. You can put this to work. I mean, if you're only running 50, maybe 100 people, you can do this.
Absolutely.
There are principles, and what he has in this article are some questions or approaches to connecting with your people and how to do a visit. So, Jim, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for spending time with us. And let's talk about it, because I'm assuming you do this.
We've done this at different times, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, house churches are unique because, just to throw this in, because we're together so long on Sundays that we can do a lot of things right there. So they provide a real help. But I originally developed this for a typical, you know, sanctuary-type church, and I think it is really helpful for, you know, if you don't have that intimacy that we spend so much time together, we can accomplish a lot of these things right there. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
That this set of bridges the gap and helps you accomplish that if you're in a traditional church. And that's where I began to use that. So, yeah.
So the motivation behind this is not just to go visit people because there's a need in their, you know, a sickness or, you know, or a death or something like that, but to systematically create an ongoing opportunity to connect with people in your church.
Yeah, yes.
So let's, first of all, why? Why do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think the big why is that it's an obligation of pastors to care for their people. So, you know, we emphasize in a lot of our training in our Baptist life, just to speak about what we know, we emphasize sort of that upfront stage preaching, you know, teaching level of interaction with our people. That can be very distant, though, can it?
Yeah.
You can act somewhat warm up there, but do you really know your people? Do you know the sheep? And I think there are many churches that the pastors don't really know their sheep. That's an oxymoron right there to say
yeah.
somebody's a shepherd and he doesn't know the sheep. That's
yeah.
That was not at all intended by those who use those terms in the New Testament.
Right.
Right. It was an intimate care for the sheep that was ongoing, and pastors just have this obligation to do this. It used to be called, many years ago, called the cure of souls. It's like the word curator.
Yeah.
You know, you're taking care of the souls that are under your charge. And pastors are, the Bible says, pastors care for your soul and let them do this without grief, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and listen to them and be, you know, this is one of the great joys of ministry too. So you should go into the pastoral ministry. This is a great joy of our pastoral work, is that we get into the lives of our people. This is should be one of the reasons why we get into this.
And
right?
What we've done in the past is we've hidden behind deacons. You know,
yes,
said,
maybe
yeah,
so.
Deacons,
right.
You go
yeah,
do
sometimes,
the visitation.
Yeah, right.
You go do
yeah,
the, you know, that
mm-hmm.
sort of thing.
That's one thing.
And
mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. this is something that pastors need to be doing on an ongoing basis.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so let's just mm-hmm. talk about yep. a typical situation like with your mm-hmm. with your church.
Yep.
You do you just call somebody up and say, I want to come by and visit you, or how do you do this?
Well, there can be that, obviously, if we think there is a reason to do that. But this systematic approach would be different. This is the coverage you want to give to all of your people. You know, years ago, I read a book called The Reformed Pastor by Baxter. Do you remember mm-hmm. that? Richard
yep.
Baxter. And
yep.
lots of people have read that book for whatever your belief system is. It's been a pretty handy book for a lot of people because he essentially talked about pastoral ministry and visiting people. And part of what he did was catechize people and so forth, and it was highly successful. And he had a massive church for that era, and he really put an emphasis on this. A lot of people have picked up that idea from him, but it's a biblical idea for us to be in the lives of our people, and it's a busy world, and we've got a lot to do, and everybody's we're in the prison of distraction, if you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard to do this. But if in a traditional setting, you don't have that natural time to do that, like we're enjoying in this situation we're in now, way in spades beyond what we had before, then I think maybe a yearly, just like you say, systematic plan where everybody knows every family's going to be visited, so you're not calling anybody out or putting anybody on the spot. You understand what I'm saying? There,
mm-hmm.
it's just important in a way to say, look, we're all going to do this. We're going to make pastoral visits. If you have a team of pastors, you can divide it up. Maybe two can go together. Even a wife and a husband and wife, pastor and wife can go. That would be fine. But you go into that family, and we've designed some questions to try to ferret out the, you know, where that person is, and what their confidence in Christ is, and how their walk with Christ is, what their problems might be, what they see in the church, and so forth. This just sort of is designed to cover those basic things that need to come out that person might not be willing to talk about, you know, unless it's in an intimate setting.
Okay, I want to get into those questions.
Yeah.
But I want to,
right.
based on this, so like, how do you get to that point where you go to? Do they sign up for it?
I would say sign up. That's what we did. You might have somebody might have a better plan for it. But I would say, since everybody's doing it, what we did is just put up the weeks we were going to focus on this.
I see.
And the slots that we had, and the families, we ask every family to fill in their name when they can do it. So we might prepare for, let's say, we might do two of them a night. Let's say. Let's say a pastoral team or a mm-hmm. man and a wife, a pastor and his wife, might do two of those in an evening, go to two families. And so you just schedule it appropriately, maybe 2 hours apart so that you have an hour and a half together if you need it, and then a little time to get to the next place.
And
actually tell them don't prepare anything for us. We'll just,
yeah.
no food or anything. We're just going to come. We're going to meet with your family. We may say, okay, kids, now it's time for you to run on off. We're going to talk to your parents. more, you know, just we'll just feel it out depending on the family.
And do you do this just certain weeks of the year, or is it ongoing?
I think that's really up to the pastor, isn't it? So if whatever he thinks is a good period of time to do it, I think would be absolutely all right. I don't think it's probably wise to do it during the holiday time and end of the year. You know, there's certain wise things to consider. What's a good time to be able to get everybody in? So you're committed to scheduling everybody in, and since it's everybody does this, everybody then signs up. So it's not really hard to get people signed up to that.
Yeah, great.
Or at least not my experience wasn't that way.
Now let's get into what you talk about and your approach, and I'm sure it's different for every family, but there are some underlying, some common questions I would assume that, that you would ask, and how would you approach that?
Yeah, so we do have just a handful of questions that that bring out most everything we think they will open the door for almost everything, and a wise pastor, of course, can step on through the door if they need to on a certain critical issue that happens to come out that the questions would bring forward. So, how should I start here? So we probably typically would send the questions to them. They would actually have them beforehand and know what we're going to talk about. These are the things we're going to talk about.
Oh, good point.
But that's up to the pastor. So it's, you know, it's just, this is a tool. You have to use it the way you think is best for your congregation. So I think that's not a bad idea. Just sometime, you know, the week before you're going, say, here's the kind of things we're going to talk through.
What things would you definitely want to hit on?
All right, so I'll just take one of them here and just, I'm just going to read it for you, okay, and give you an idea. So this is a pretty basic thing. The first one we talk about is, at this point in your life, do you have genuine assurance from God that you are converted? Or do you have some reason or question? Please explain your answer. Perhaps it would help if you could tell where your assurance lies on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being no assurance and 5 being absolute assurance. What would you say are the evidences of fruit which demonstrate that you are truly regenerate? So that's a very fundamental question. Very fundamental, but how many people have struggled with confidence? Lack of assurance is a tremendous issue, right?
Yeah. And if you're dealing with a couple, it's important for them to know that about each other, I would think.
It is. These things come forward. We really try to get them to be honest, you know?
Yeah.
So they could answer, well, we just prayed a prayer and, you know, and I was told I was a Christian and, you know, that sort of thing. But we can deal with that. And we actually have material, too, to help in that. Like the Wasted Faith book is really helpful for people. But, yeah, that's a illustration of a very basic question that gets at a root issue of assurance. And without confidence, they're going to probably really struggle in the church. You know, so we're aiming to help every member have confidence, find out where they really are. And if they're not a believer, we've got things to say to them.
Absolutely.
Obviously, the pastor will have things to say to them.
Yeah. What else would you ask
them? All right, another one would be like this, if you don't mind me just reading it, because
I think it's probably more
helpful. In order to help you, I am interested in finding out if you're regularly meditating on the Word of God and praying, both individually and as a family. What's your present devotional procedure personally? How regularly do you spend quality time with God? Do you have family worship, either with the whole family or as a couple? What's your method and frequency? You can relate your own Bible reading, worship patterns, and so forth. So you can suggest things that would be helpful, you know, to the individual. So again, we're not talking about, we're talking about the fact that we know we need the Word. We don't have a prescription about exactly what you ought to do. You might have many ways to do that. It should be thought of like food. That's the way the Bible kind of treats it, like you need this nourishment. So what are you doing to kind of feed yourself with the Word of God? And how are you handling the prayer needs that you have in this family? And, you know, we can help bolster that, that kind of reading pattern. Also, again, we have material like that. It's called My Preferred Way to Read the Bible. It actually helps them see a simple way that they can really get into these things. So some kind of tools, they're ubiquitous out there. There are many tools you might choose.
Yeah.
But that can be very helpful because we know that if they're not getting the Word, I've never known a Christian that could feed me personally. He wasn't being fed in the Word himself.
But, yeah.
So it just goes with what it means to walk with God.
Right? It occurs to me that this also, as a pastor, tells you where your people are.
And, yes, and, I mean, at the end of it all, you could almost chart some things.
Yeah.
to you know, just say, what do I need to be speaking on, teaching on? Where are we weak as a church? You know, what do I need to get the men together to do? You know, I can see a weakness here, you know, and it really is informative. Knowing your sheep, that's what the Lord said to do, right?
Know, and especially in a revitalization or replant type thing.
You definitely
need to know where those people are.
And
you can really key in, I think, probably on some issues that you didn't even know existed. There were underlying hidden issues.
You will experience that. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, here's another one. The believer, the third one we have, is the believer is capable of committing any sin, even though the Christian does not sin with the same apathy and rebellion of a non-believer. He's a new creature and nonetheless struggles against the sin principle which is within him. What are the sins which most often bother you these days? Because believers are repenters at heart and have the Spirit of God within, there is hope that these sins can be dealt with and are overcome. I'd love to help you with practical counsel and prayer. So this is a pretty intimate question.
Maybe it's a very intimate question.
Maybe you don't want the children in there.
Right.
But this, you know, the problem is we're not intimate enough with our people. I think that's a problem. It's not enough love. You know, we need to get in there and bear these burdens with them, struggle with them about their sins. So this happens. We find a particular, in our particular congregation, I think I told you in another broadcast, we mentor every man. So all the men of our congregation are mentored. So we know them very intimately. And these kind of questions would come out there in that context as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in a typical church, you're just sort of distant if you're not careful from people. You're not really loving them on the level that makes a difference. You know,
would you caution pastors to be careful, particularly with this kind of a question, where you are, it's almost a forced accountability.
Well,
when you say
you have to know your people and see how far you can go.
Yeah.
You know, and there can be also, you know, the pastor can be just savvy about his couple. He can say, look, I'd like to, maybe my wife would like to take you in a room. We're going to talk about this question, or I'll talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can do something like that, or see if they mind just talking individually about these things. However, I think most people will, at least in general, address it, and then you can find ways to begin working with that person. You've got now the knowledge that you need, right, to deal deeper with that person.
Mm-hmm.
So we're really trying to bring something out so that you know how to pastor your people.
Yeah. You can't pastor them if you don't know their needs.
You can't pastor them without the needs, right? Some things we anticipate showing up fairly often.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, we just need to help them know that there are resources. We can talk about things. We can work on some things to help you. And that's, we just got to be, we're being sanctified, right? And mm-hmm. this is what it means, part of what it means to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's look at number four there. I think this is, boy, this one really opens up a ton of things when we talk about intimacy in the church and the fellowship of believers.
Mm. Yeah. You want me to read that one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Are there any relationship difficulties between you and others within your family or the church or even outside of the church? Is there a wall built up because of unforgiveness which makes it uncomfortable for you to be around any person?
Now, I'm a member of your congregation.
Yeah.
And you come to me with that question, and I say, you know, I just have a real problem with Leonard. He's mm-hmm. just a pain in my neck. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you didn't know that, you know.
Right.
What do you do?
Well, I mean, the Bible has things to say about relationships, about how we go to brothers, you know, who have things against us. There are a number of things that obviously that a pastor should know about how we work on relationships within the body. And sometimes, I mean, it can be that depending on the nature of the problem, getting these two men together, let's say, mm-hmm. Leonard and this guy, together. See, let's get together and let's just talk about this and clear the air. It's been something on your mind for a good while. I'm sure you've struggled to really show love, and you know, let's just kind of work on it. Let's work on it, because, man, this is a church. We've got a job. We have a witness to the community. Our love for each other is a critical witness to this community, and this is just a key part right here, that individually, and it's happening through the church. We're dealing with this through these things through the church. Let's just deal with these things and work on them together.
By the way, I don't know a Leonard. I just want to point that out.
No, but I've had a few problems with him, too. Yeah.
You've had a problem with Leonard,
yeah,
too,
have you? He changes his name in different churches.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Here's a question. Are there new levels of personal discipline, spiritual growth, or service to which God is calling you, whether it be in the church or outside of the church? This is a hot topic for me, because I am a firm believer that every Christian should know his spiritual gift and ministry, and that people should know what my spiritual gift is and what my ministry is. That's how we minister to each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm amazed at how many Christians don't know their spiritual gift, don't even know what their ministry is.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a great question, and do you use it from that approach?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, we think things ought to characterize people, like, oh, you know, Ruth does this. She, you know, this is how she contributes to the church, and you know, how this is the way she operates to really show her love and help build the church up and so forth. She's right there with her hands always eager, you know, always jumping in. So we want people to have that sense of I'm a cog in this thing that's helping. I have an important part to play, and it may not be a mouth, but it may be some behind the scenes thing, but it's absolutely critical, isn't it? And so I think the Lord makes a big deal of that. So we want to make a big deal of that.
Yeah, it's so critical,
it's
just, I think,
it's
for church.
It's so important for the strength of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is.
Which
so
brings
we
us
want
to
people, yeah, it's good. You're finding out what do people feel like God's given them, you know, just that they can do, how can they contribute? And you're trying to then help them find a way to do that.
Yeah.
You know, so you're starting with kind of what the Lord's planted in the person.
Absolutely.
Right? Not trying to fit them into something.
And I think every church has the responsibility to build platforms of ministry.
That's right. You know, we build it around the people
If I feel like God's called me to do this, but I don't know how to do it or what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, that's right.
I have a responsibility to help that church member discover that.
Absolutely.
One more question in this blog that you wrote, and are you concerned about anything in the life of the church which I should be aware of? We've kind of touched on that from the negative standpoint, but what's the focus of that question?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we like ideas. You know, we ought to hear the ideas of the people. If they think there's a weakness or they think there's a potential, you know, they're optimistic about something that could be done. Now, we might, depending on the person, we might actually turn to them to help get the job done.
Mm, good point.
You know, because those that God has created an interest in, you know, that. But I think people really, you know, are the best usually to actually expend themselves for it.
Yeah.
But we should supply them, help them, train them, give them what they need, you know, try to get them, you know, if we could just find out what people can do and what they see as important, I think they're going to really own this church,
mm-hmm.
you know, and now, you know, I realize that not everybody is godly enough to do certain things.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They shouldn't be doing some things.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be other people who, you know, we can always listen. We can always write it down. We can always be praying about it at a minimum, and seriously do that, you know, and see what God might have. He might not go just the way He's envisioned it. Obviously, we're leaders. We have to lead in ways that we can, can lead and what seems appropriate and so forth. But I think we can listen real well. We can hear and we can see if this is being a repeated thing. And, you know, it can make a difference in the way we do ministry, really, sometimes. So I just think be a listener. You know, people like a pastor listens. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
You know, it's just really important to be that way.
Well, the article is Spiritual Inventory for Pastoral Visits, and we've got a link for it there in the show notes, and I hope you'll find that. And, of course, it's available from Christian Communicators Worldwide, which is Jim Eliff's organization, and what he does day by day. And feel free to check out the website there and use those resources. They're available to you for free. And you can download a lot of them right there online. So, Jim, thank you so much for giving us your time. We appreciate your ministry.
It's a privilege. I love what you do. I love the aim of it. I think it's really important. So I'm really glad to contribute a little bit.
Well, you've contributed a lot, and we're deeply grateful for that. And Mark Clifton will be back at our next one. So I hope that you'll plan on joining us again for another edition of Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, which is coming up. Thank you to the North American Mission Board for making this possible. Thank you, Jim, and thank you, folks, for listening.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.